this motif that runs throughout Scripture of exile and return. This idea that there's some place we're supposed to be and we want to return to it. And it's in the Hebrew Bible, and it is in the New Testament. And it's something that happens over and over and over again. And if you think of a people who could have lost hope, it would have been Israel, wouldn't it? Right from the beginning, they had grand visions of what could be with the promises made to Abram. And things went downhill pretty quickly. Think of the story of Joseph, sold into slavery. But he had hope. And then he ultimately rose to a position of great influence in Egypt and was able to help his family. And then things went downhill for them. Strangers in a strange land, they were made slaves. And then they were delivered to freedom. They had their own country. And it reached its high point with David and Solomon. And you know the story, it all fell apart. And Israel was exiled by the Assyrians, and then Judah by the Babylonians. But they were restored to Jerusalem. And they were told that all of the things they had feared, of being displaced from their homes and their vineyards, of their children dying at an early age, of not having enough food, those concerns should be set aside, and that God was going to be there to hear their cries, to hear their prayers, to be with them. It was a message of hope, hope for the future. And then in the story of Jesus, we have a benchmark that we can all use, because there are times in our lives when we might say, I have no reason to hope. Things are really bleak. They're really dark. But think about Jesus. All of that travel, all of that teaching, all of those people who didn't get what he was saying or who ignored him or reviled him. And then he was crucified. And he died. And then Scripture teaches us that he was resurrected. And that is the central event in human history. Was God making possible something that seemed impossible? Now, the hope we get in Scripture and the hope we get through our faith is not one of rainbows and unicorns. It's not all going to be right tomorrow. But we as a people, we as Christians, are called to live in hope. We are called to believe in these promises that God has made. That, to use a trite phrase, tomorrow will be a better day. Because what's the point of coming to church? What is the point of doing any good act if we're going to believe that there is no hope? And the hope can seem extravagant. You may recall the final verses that we read today from Isaiah 65. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. That was a vision that was originally preached by first Isaiah, back in chapter 11, as he's talking about the deliverer who's going to come. Verse 6, he says, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, we know a lot more about biology and about the environment and how different animals live with one another than the ancients did. But even they knew that the idea of a wolf living with a lamb, of a little baby putting its hand over the adder's nest, was crazy. But still they had the vision that God could remake the world. And we are called as partners by God to help in that work. If you don't imagine something is possible, it will never happen. And maybe you can have this crazy, outlandish idea or hope, and you've got to trim it a little bit. But that can still be so much bigger and greater and more beautiful and more wonderful than what you had before. So we can look at this vision of the peaceable kingdom and think about what it's trying to tell us. A world where people do not oppress one another. A world where predators do not need to prey on others. And you can imagine that. And it might be difficult to imagine how we would get from here to there. But we have to dream of these things before they can happen. And attitudes can change over time. And we need to keep fighting for that change. But it's when people like you and me give up our hope that this vision goes dark. So on this beautiful sunny day, I pray that we will all continue to have hope, and we will have faith, and we will have confidence in the promises that God has made to us, that we will hope beyond hope.